Morning, church. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. So we started out a couple of weeks ago, and we began looking at a story Jesus told, and we started out talking about being lost and thinking about being lost and remembering some time in our life we'd been lost. And then I ask you to look at this passage as God wants us to see it, because Jesus puts us as the role of the shepherd. So it's not only about being lost, but in this passage specifically, it was about looking for the lost in a direction where we understand that we need to always be aware of that. Then we move from that to last week. And last week we talked about choose your own adventure. And I took that talking about, of course, the kids' books that came about in 1976. And I talked about how we have a choice to make. One thing that angers me more than anything is to sit and listen to someone talk about all of the bad things that have led to this point. And most of the time, the bad things that have led to that point in their life have nothing to do with them. Now, I'm not saying that the bad things that have happened to us are not bad and don't form us in some ways, but at some point, we have to step up and take responsibility for our future and make a good decision. And I told you last week that this has all come about because I've had this idea of direction. And I want to tell you this morning where we're going to go. And where we're going to go, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to tell you where we're going to go, and I want to tell you that there's two ways I think that we can look at this today. What we're going to do today is we're going to take God's direction from the Bible, and I'm going to go to conversations people have with God to look at that. Then I'm going to go to the wise people. Then I'm going to go to the prophets, and then I'm going to back up, and I'm going to use a single verse from each of those. This coming week, I hope to write these scriptures and put them into my bulletin article, because what happens in the next few sermon series after this lesson are going to depend on these verses. If you've been wanting to maybe sit down and think about, I would love to memorize some verses. These are some verses that I hope that you will take seriously. And everything that we'll do from this point will relate to this idea of God's direction. The two ways that you can look at that is if you think about a skeleton. I'm going to give you the skeleton today, and then I'm going to add meat to it in the upcoming days. But the way that I prefer that you look at it is this way. We have been given a mission by God. If you spent any time in church at all, you understand what that mission is. And it's all areas and aspects of our life, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to walk, right? And we understand that. And that's what we're going to build this skeleton on. But how we play that out in the world is what I would call vision. There's a difference in the mission that God has given us and a vision of how we are going to apply that mission to the area of life that we are currently in, or our community as a church, how we're going to apply that mission as a church. The most often used term for God's people in the Bible is the way. And you can understand that either as it's a road that is to be traveled, or it is a direction which God is pointing for us to go. But He has always had an intention and a plan for His people to walk in this world in a certain way. And as we look at this and we think about God's direction, and as we lay this bare bones description out, what I'm going to do in the upcoming weeks is add purposeful thought to this skeleton so that we can all as a group, coming to the end of the year, think about our own personal vision of what it's going to be like the next few years of our spiritual journey if we're alive, and also what we can do as a church. Now, when I think about direction, as I said already, this idea of way comes into the mind. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Psalms first, and here in Psalm 17, we're going to look at a few different passages. I've selected them because there are so, so many. And I hope that I have biased your minds to hear direction in the verses that I read today. And we're going to start here in Psalm 17. Verse 5. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. Recently, in a discussion with Curtis Peters, I was telling him that I hiked Rattlesnake Falls. He became ghostly pale and said, "No, you did not. You hiked on the other side. You wouldn't be alive if you had been in Rattlesnake Falls." Now, as you could look at me, you understand that I haven't hiked very much lately at all. But if you remember about 5 years ago, Anna Reed took the kids out of town, and I decided I was going to go down here to this little spot on the side of the road, and I was going to do some hiking. And I've got hiking boots. I used to love to go hiking. I'd go in the woods and hide out 4 or 5 days every year so that I could get away and let, you know, my mind sort of settle and think about God. I love to hike. And I put my boots on. I've got a pair of hiking boots, and I walked in, and I want you to know that was the quickest in hike I had ever done in my life. But I put those boots on because I didn't want to fall. And I tell you, I really didn't need the boots too bad going in. But if you know where I'm talking about, it's like a 90-degree drop down in. But coming out, it'd take a brother a while to come out. But those shoes that I had on, they were to help me not slip, you know, because if I get this going one direction, it's going to go. It's going to go that direction. And when I think about here that God has laid out a path for us, and he doesn't want our feet to slip, what I have to think about here and understand is that there are slippery slopes out here in the world. There are things where if we get our feet marred in, it's not going to hold, and we are going to stumble. And here God just sets out a plan, it seems, to this man who is speaking to him in prayer, that God has given him a sure foot. He has given him a path that won't lead him astray, where he won't slip and he won't stumble. Now, I want you to understand, this is one of those things where it's a metaphor, and if we press it, it'll fall. This man is giving an example of how God is guiding him. But we all understand, even with God's guidance, we still sometimes stumble. The next one, Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Going back to the illustration of the shepherd, here we get a beautiful image of God having a path for us to tread, and not only telling us to go to the store, but he is walking with us. And as long as he is with us, he's always going to be leading us to the quiet waters. That doesn't mean the waters that are in our life are always going to be still and calm. He is leading us to the quiet waters. He's the one that's going to take us and put us in a sure, right-footed way. And if you want to be right, then you're going to be with God. One more, Psalm 25, verse 10. Psalm 25, verse 10. "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant." This verse is so packed. This is one of those short verses where it would take a very long time to really get the depth and meaning of this short sentence. First of all, the word here where it says he is loving, it's the word hesed that you've heard me talk about before, where it would take an English paragraph to translate this word. It's translated so many different ways, over 80 different ways in the King James, the RSV, the NIV. They just struggle when they come to this word because it's so deep, so rich of its meaning. But here, what it tells us is as long as God is guiding our path, he will do that as long as we keep the demands of his covenant. Now, that is the qualifier for us here. This is one of those things where if you want to get on the wrong path, it is a God-given right for you to choose the wrong path. Sometimes I see people get real angry about someone living a life of sin, and I hate it just as much as you do because I want these individuals to be right with the Lord because I know how much chaos and storm is in their life and how that could be calmed. But what we have to understand, it is a God-given right to choose not to follow him. But what God is trying to reassure us of here in the Psalms with these conversations with humanity are, if you want the path to be the right path, the path that is filled with love and joy, then you'll follow my path. You think about the commandments that he gives us. It's not one of those things where he's trying to restrict us. He's trying to keep us from evil, from bad, from doing things that we would know were wrong most of the time if he had never told us they were wrong. Don't kill. Don't cheat. Don't bear false witness. Don't sleep with someone's wife. I mean, we understand these are just not good things, and God is trying to guide us in this way. Moving from this to the idea of wisdom, the Proverbs writer is so bound up in God and light and path, and so is Psalms. When you come to the direction of God, it seems always to fall on something to do with light. But listen to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. We used to go to a thing called CTS at Freed Hardeman, and each year, Sam Hester would give out these how-to books. And I remember coming across one of the how-to. He had put some journal in there about whole hog commitment. And he talked about the farm animals were so proud of the farmer that they had, that he treated them so well that they all come together and decided they were going to make the perfect breakfast for the farmer. So they came to the pig, and the chicken said, I'm going to give some eggs. And the cow said, I'm going to give some milk. We just need you to give a little bit too. And the hog told him, he said, look, I understand what we're doing here. I just need some time to think about it. And it made the chicken and the cow mad. It's like, why do you need time to think about it? He's been so good to us. They said, well, you're giving a little bit. He said, but for me to give for breakfast, it's got to be a whole hog commitment. And we understand that, right? Because he would have to give his life for that moment. And this passage here immediately about the direction of God is about us coming to this and being committed to it. Again, it doesn't mean most of you in here are committed to numerous things in your life. You're committed to your job. You're committed to your spouse. You're committed to your children, whatever it may be. But even in that commitment, sometimes you struggle. Sometimes there's a rub. Sometimes there's difficulty in all of that. What God is saying is, I just need to know that you are committed, that you are going to be faithful to me in this journey. And as long as you're faithful, then I'm going to make the road ahead of you the straight road. God is the only one that can make crooked straight. He's the only one that can come in and make broken whole, and one that makes sick well. It is Him that will come and do these things for us when we commit ourselves to Him. Listen to the next chapter of Proverbs. Chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. The light, the path that is enlightened or illuminated by the morning sun is the path that we should follow. And this is the path that we understand that we get on and we go down this path that God has set for us as He gives us direction of where we need to go in our lives. But we all know that it's not necessarily ignorance that we fail or take the wrong path. It's not because we are ignorant of what the right path is. It's because we haven't come to this situation. We have not devoted ourselves to it. But God is still there, constantly shining light on the path that is right. If you can remember what it was like to be broken, if you could remember what it was like to be away from God, I know that there are people in this audience that are that today, but if you're living right and you're with God, you're on the path, if you can look back to those moments and remember, no matter how far away you got from the right path, you could always see the right path. You may not have always taken it, but God has always laid the proper way to live as a human in this world. How to be His, how to be transformed by Him, how to be led to quiet waters, how to be led to the green pastures. But it is that commitment where we have to make it from our heart to our head to our hands so that we can live that out practically in our lives. Moving to the prophets probably say it most poetically, which is interesting because we have books of poetry. But Isaiah says in chapter 26, verse 7, the path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. I've not always worried about, my dad's here today and I'm going to talk about him, because if he were up here, he'd be talking about me. I'm not always worried about like stairs or, you know, stuff getting in the way. But I don't know if I told you this, but recently my dad went out on my front porch and near killed himself, just right out there on the front porch. And I think about how he has to pay attention to where he's walking now. But I don't pay attention necessarily to where I'm walking unless the road is not smooth and I know it. Like if there's a bunch of roots or snags and I may trip and fall, I don't look down and always watch where I'm walking. But God is telling us that's it, that's okay, because you don't have to worry about it, because as long as you're with me, I'm going to make the path smooth. Again, this metaphor, it can easily break down. It can easily break down. You can right now, I guarantee you, 70% of the people in this audience can look into their lives and say, well, my life's everything but smooth right now. But we have to see that this is not necessarily God saying that he's going to remove us from the worldly circumstance. He's saying that he's going to shine the light on the right path. He's going to walk with us. And there is a smoothness, no matter the terrain, when we are one with God, when we are at peace with our lives, there is a smoothness. No matter the storm that rages, there is a smoothness in the comfort of the path that is illuminated by God. You want peace? That's where it'll always be found. Doing what you know is right. I developed a saying not long after my 24th birthday, and it was, you can never be happy when you're not doing the things that you know you need to do. You'll never be happy. Because the thing is, if you are acquainted with God and acquainted with Jesus at all, you know the thing that you ought to be doing is living in him. Living in him. And once that happens, that peace that can calm storms and that peace that can live through storms will dwell in you. It won't be about you. It won't be about your neighbor. It won't be about your family. It'll be about you and knowing God more fully. Moving forward, look at Jeremiah. We looked at a passage last week in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. I want to read it to you again because I think it's so crucial. We used it for the choose your own adventure. And remember, I told you that the Babylonians are about to come and destroy Israel. And this is what God wants to say to the Benjaminites before that happens. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I've listened to people describe certain roads in this town and where certain roads in this town came from. Now, I don't know if anybody other than Brother James was alive back in them wagon train type days, but there are several roads here that were wagon roads before we ever had roads. And eventually they developed into major thoroughfares. I can remember walking with my Papa Murrah across his land, and we'd come across some weird looking ditch, and he would say, that's the old road. That's the old road. And even after years and years of growth, you could still look through those woods and see this this path that had been worn. It had been steady, and people knew this road. When we talk about the ancient paths, many times it is someone trying to get someone to believe necessarily like they believe. But when God speaks of the ancient paths, he's talking about a path that his people have walked since the beginning of time. It is a well-worn path. And if you cannot find the path, all you've got to do is pause at whatever crossroads you may be and ask. And another thing we humans sometimes are good at doing, though we may never admit it, I seriously doubt that kids today write in their interview to a college and say, I'm a wonderful follower. I am the best follower in the world. Most of them probably fill out some huge transcript talking about, I'm a wonderful leader. I'm a leader of all leaders. But you know, everybody cannot be a leader, and everybody can't be a leader all the time. And sometimes in life, let's just be honest, we're not capable mentally, emotionally, or physically to lead. But one thing we've always been able to do is follow. You just want to make sure when you do follow someone here on this earth that they are walking on the ancient path. And God's given us all kinds of tests to know about that, all kinds of fruit tests. One more, Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Hosea paints such a wonderful picture of walking in the right path. And if I had to burn all of the ones that I've talked about down to one story, it would be the story of Hosea. It's one of the strangest sermons God has ever preached. Now, don't get me wrong. Isaiah walking naked for 2 years is definitely top three on my list of strange sermons that God preaches. But when it comes to the strangest of strange for me, it is the story of Hosea. He asked Hosea to marry a woman of the evening. I don't know what else to say about that. If you don't know what that is, yeah, figure it out some other way. But he asked him to marry a woman who is known in the community well. And he does what God asked him to do because Hosea wants to be a good prophet. And not only does he do it out of duty, he loves Gomer. He loves her. He even builds a cage for her so she can't get out. She just climbs over all that action. And she goes and does what Gomer does. And it destroys Hosea. And as he comes back into God's presence and he has this conversation, his whole countenance has changed. It's not fallen, it's changed. Because he knew before God told him, I am giving you a lesson as a prophet. So the next time you deliver my message to my people, it will feel like it is your message to the people. Because Hosea, you are living in humanity what I am experiencing as God the Creator. My people are not faithful to me. No matter what blessings I pour upon them, no matter what wall I build, my people constantly leave me in the night, in the day, anytime they find an opportune time to leave me. They leave me. God also writes his vows. He writes his wedding vows to the nation of Israel in the book of Hosea. I'm not one for weddings. But his vow is so moving, so beautiful of what he is going to be to Israel no matter what. No matter what, God is going to be faithful. And if you will just walk with him, he'll make your path way more smooth. It'll be way more illuminated. And you all know what it's like to have a flashlight and not to have a flashlight. You know what it's like to have the power go out and it's out for like 2 or 3 hours, but yet every time you walk into a new room, what you do? Flip that switch. You flip that switch. You've known for over an hour now that the power's out, but something in your mind has trained you. Turn on the light, turn on the light, turn on the light. We want to see where we're going. And God has constantly said, I am the light. And I'm constantly shining the light on you. I want to back up now and I want to look at one verse in each of these three categories and then move it into the New Testament. And my lesson this morning will be yours. I will refresh your mind in my bulletin article this week about these passages. Read them over and over again. Because now we understand that this is a direction in which God wants us to walk. We know what that direction is. We know that it's right. The passages that we will add to this will complicate things. Because the journey that we'll tread, it won't always be a solitary journey. We'll stand before God, yes, by ourselves, but we'll walk in this world with humanity. And God expects things of us. He expects us to do things in a certain way. But let's back up, and I want to read Psalm 25:4. Again, God's conversation with humanity. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. This should be our prayer constantly. It should be our prayer constantly. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it to you again. One of the unique things about Paul is that Christianity is a movement to Paul. He's always talking about it as a movement, whether it be a farmer doing something or whether it be an Olympian running a race, it's always something forward. And he goes so far in Philippians to say, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. I move forward to the calling of God. The only time that he pauses that is in Romans chapter 5 in the first 11 verses. And he says, we stand in the grace of God. There is going to be a moment where we could be in a lighted path, but there are so many roads in front of us that we don't know where to go. There are those moments in our spiritual journey where we need to stop making progress and we need to get down and get on our knees and fight like a good Christian does. Seek him. Ask for him to teach you because he is a teacher. He's the teacher of teachers. And he wants to constantly educate his children on his ways, on himself, and how we can journey in this world as God wants us to be human. moving into Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. This verse, for me, boils down that idea of mission and vision. Mission and vision. God has given us the mission. Now we have to use our creativity, our minds, our intellect, our hearts, our souls to develop a vision of how we are going to carry this mission out in the world in which we live. Isaiah 45:2. I will go before you and I will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and I will cut through bars of iron. My prayer in the upcoming weeks as we talk more about this, I don't really have a good title for it, I'm sorry. I've told you I'm not good at that. But my prayer is that you follow in the paths that God has set before us. You walk in those paths. You constantly be aware if you're in it or if you're not. Awareness is important because you're never going to correct your journey. You're never going to get off the wrong path if you're not aware that you're walking on the wrong path. Awareness is so important. And God wants us to be aware. And knowing that sometimes we just have to stop and seek his help. Moving into the prophets. Isaiah 45:2. I just read that. Moving into the New Testament. Hear these words of Jesus, God incarnate in our world, about direction. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 14:6, Jesus speaks again. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God put something in the path because the path that his people had been walking was a broken path. So he put something in the path that we could see, we could touch, we could feel, we could understand. He sent a human, a God human into our world to show us how we ought to live. And the story of his sacrifice, of his giving of his life, is a story that has moved more than likely the majority of the people in this room. But Jesus leaves us words, and these words are ancient words. These words ring of something else. They ring of something that God has been telling his people constantly, over and over and over again. But now, he's given us an answer. He's given us a leader. He's given us forgiveness. And he's given us a path that sometimes may not always be smooth. Sometimes we may slip a little, but it is a path that leads to eternity. And if you're not on that path, I don't want to follow you ever. Because I know this for sure, every one of us in this room at some point or another have been on a road that led to an eternity that we didn't want to be on. But Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the truth. Jesus tells us, I'm the light of the world. All of those passages talking about the way, talking about the church and God's people, how they ought to be, God sent incarnate in his son, the answer for all of us. And if there was ever anyone that you should follow, it's him. When we move into the new upcoming passages to talk about this, we'll talk about how God has called for us to be a people that is selfless. A people that understands that it's not about us and understand that joy and love, all the good stuff in life, people always say all the good stuff in life is free. All the good stuff in life God gave us. But he also gave us a choice. And the question you have to answer this morning is, what are you going to do with that choice? Going back to the very first sermon, can you be a shepherd? Or are you still the one wandering, lost in the wilderness? You see, I can't answer that for you. I can't come and beat you with the Bible. I can't browbeat you with the truth. I can't bring a stick or a weapon to force you to be God's child because God has always given you the choice. So church, this morning, what path, what direction will you choose? If we can do anything for you this morning, church, please come now as we stand and sing.